this is going to be more misunderstandings or unbiblical opinions. This is the second time we've gone through some of these. One thing that is put up there, they say that Paul must have updated his message at the beginning of the gospel. But Paul did not have to update his message at the beginning of the beginning of the gospel. Paul mentioned that beginning of the gospel in Philippians 4:15. The message of the gospel remained the same good news of salvation by faith into the same body of Christ. It was a different part of the gospel that changed. There was a change. That's why there was a change in the name. A gospel contains several parts. One, a message or contents of the gospel. Two, the extent of the audience to whom it is sent. And three, the time for which it applies. At least those three parts. The contents of the gospel remained the same when the gospel of Christ became the gospel of the grace of God. So in that sense, it's not a new message. The target audience was changed, though. The target audience to whom the gospel of Christ had been sent ceased to be only the Jews first, and also the Greeks. The target audience was widened to be sent to them, yes, but also to all people. Sent to all people at the beginning of the gospel. The time during which the gospel of the grace of God applies extends from the beginning of that gospel mentioned in Philippians 4:15 until when God stops dispensing his grace and starts dispensing his long-delayed wrath following the catching up of the body of Christ. It's convenient for some people to ignore the gospel of Christ and run the gospel of the grace of God back all the way back to before it's mentioned in the Bible, before there's any indication that it existed, back to the beginning of the body of Christ in Acts 9. We're talking about the gospel of the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God, running it back all the way. Just look how few Bibles, and not the Bibles, but the time charts from the Bible, how few of them contain any reference to the gospel of Christ. It's like they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which Paul mentioned 11 times. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, though, and also to the Greek at that time. Some people errantly say that since Paul got a new gospel in Philippians 4:15, that the former gospel, the former salvation gospel, must not have been a gospel of salvation. If it was a gospel, it would have been the gospel of God, which is not a salvation gospel. But the salvation gospel before the beginning of the gospel that Paul mentions in Philippians 4:15, that salvation gospel was the gospel of Christ. It was limited to those who had already been preached to and been cared for by God, given covenants to, commandments, so they know how God is and how short they fall from what God is. So the gospel of God is the foundation, and upon that foundation the gospel of salvation is based. You have to believe that God rose Jesus from resurrected Jesus from the grave to believe that he's able to save you. that he died for your sins instead of just dying and being gone, or dying for his sins or something. So the elements of the gospel of God are foundational before you can believe the gospel of Christ. Both the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God are salvation gospels with the same salvation message, but different audiences, different addressees, and therefore different titles. They're not the same, even though the message remained the same. The former salvation gospel was not the gospel of God. They get confused on the gospels when they criticize it. The former gospel of salvation wasn't the gospel of God. That doesn't contain salvation. But it was the gospel of Christ, the one that they don't like to mention. It was the same saving message that Paul is recorded to have preached at least as early as in Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13. We read some of that tonight in verses 38 and 39. It was the same saving message by which unforgivable Saul of Tarsus was saved as a pattern. It was the same saving message that we're saved by today, by following that pattern of believe on him to life everlasting. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. The new gospel of the grace of God that began when Philippians 4:15 said it began was merely sent to a wider audience, sent to all men. And I've said it before, but don't get confused by that sending. Ascending is not a restriction. When he was sent to the Jews and those that sided with the Jews, he was not restricted from teaching other people. He made his own restriction. He strived or tried not to preach where the name of Christ had already been preached. But that wasn't God's restricting him. That was his restrictions, his striving not to. Well, let's go on. Did Paul depart from Macedonia, or did he go into Macedonia in that Philippians 4:15? Some people want to discredit Christ's earlier sending of Paul. When they want to discredit him, they try to switch the Bible time markers, the marker there of when Christ sent Paul on his later commission to dispense the gospel of the grace of God to all men. They try to say that the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men was in Acts 16, verse 10, which says, After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Well, no doubt there had been a gospel before the gospel was sent to all men spoken of in Philippians 4:15. But that was the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he says, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That would be the gospel of Christ. They weren't yet aware of any other gospel or of God breaking the trend or the system that he had used to go to the Jews with salvation, and those that wanted to have God's salvation other than the Jews would have to come in the same way as the Jews did, by the covenants, the commandments, the circumcision, etc. But that ended with the mystery of Christ returning with this secret that all people can be saved by believing that Christ died for their sins, regardless of covenants, commandments, circumcision, and any of those. So Christ's sending of Paul to all men is placed, if that's true, you know, that what they say about the where let me just for reference read Acts 16:10 again. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we in I didn't read that right. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So that would put the beginning of the gospel before Acts 18:22, the temple vision, in which Christ told Paul that in the future he would send Paul far hence to the far-off Gentiles. So that does not fit. For integrity, Christ had to have sent Paul after he told him that he would send him in the future from then. Because of Acts 22, verse 18, we know that that's where Paul is reciting what happened in the temple vision earlier. We know that Christ's temple vision to Paul was during Paul's briefest, quickest, shortest visit, recorded visit, to Jerusalem in Acts 18:22. It just took three words, that whole time in Jerusalem there. Look at Acts 18, or 22, chapter 22, verse 18, to see why Paul left Jerusalem in such a big hurry immediately after the temple vision. Acts 22:18, the report of what happened earlier. And saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. That speaks of a big change. A big change that they won't swallow. The Jews, the synagogue Jews, won't swallow. Look in Acts chapter 16, verse 12, to see a detail about Philippi in Macedonia. Excuse me. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So, do you see what your Bible says about Philippi, Macedonia? It says that Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So, when Paul sailed away from Philippi, he was departing from Macedonia, as he later looked back and identified as the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men. Philippians 4:15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Do you see how Philippians 4:15 is very specific? If you simply read it as it's written, you can realize that it interprets perfectly in line with the rest of the Holy Scriptures. You can read it, and without claiming that there is an earlier beginning of the gospel than this beginning of the gospel, you can believe it as it's written. Does Philippians 4:15 say that a gospel began when Paul departed from Macedonia? Well, let's look at the verse again. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. So does Philippians 4:15 say that a gospel began when Paul departed from Macedonia? Yeah, sure does. Did God mean it when he said it? Yep. Should we believe it? For someone to claim we're wrongly interpreting Philippians 4:15, they would have to find another scripture that's more specific And it says that the gospel of the grace of God began before Paul departed from Macedonia. You see how certain that God was that he wanted us to be about when the gospel of the grace of God began. He wanted us to be sure of it. He says it very specifically there. All right, let's look at another unbiblical opinion. Did Paul preach a salvation gospel before the beginning of the gospel? Some people say that we teach that Paul did not preach the gospel of salvation until after the temple vision in Acts 18, or until Christ later sent Paul in Acts 20. They say we don't teach that there was that Paul taught a salvation gospel before those Acts 18 and Acts 20. Well, that shows that they've mixed together the gospel of Christ to the Jews with the gospel of the grace of God to all men. Christ sent Paul with the gospel of the grace of God after the gospel of Christ, not only after the gospel of God. The gospel of God was even in the Old Testament. It's been around. It's God's attributes, he's the same, but he exhibits his grace now just like he's going to exhibit his wrath in the future. So Christ sent Paul to preach heavenly body of Christ salvation to the Jew first, before he sent him to preach salvation to all men. The gospel of the grace of God was not the first that the Bible tells of salvation into the body of Christ. Let me repeat that so that there's no confusion. The gospel of the grace of God wasn't the first that the Bible tells of salvation into the body of Christ. Christ had earlier sent Paul to the Jews with that same saving message by which Christ saved unforgivable Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9. The later sending of Paul to preach salvation to all men was not in addition to the new gospel. It actually was the new gospel with the same saving message. All right, let's go on to the eighth misunderstanding or misconception or unbiblical opinion. Did Paul preach salvation in Philippi? Some people say, they claim that we say that Paul only preached the gospel of God in Philippi. We don't say that, do we? I don't remember having heard anybody say that. They get mixed up on about when the gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God began, thinking that Philippians 4:15 says that Paul first preached the gospel of the grace of God in Philippi. They get confused. I mean, there's like a cloud over their eyes. But look at 4:15 again, Philippians 4:15. Now, you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So the subject that Paul speaks about in Philippians 4:15 is the Philippians partnered fellowshipping financially with Paul when he departed from Philippi, Macedonia. And you can see that Paul does not say anything here about what he preached at Philippi. But earlier in Philippians, Paul does tell us what gospel the Philippians had earlier heard and believed. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So Paul calls the gospel that the Philippians heard and believed the gospel of Christ, being preached to them before the dividing line called the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel, the grace of God to all men. That dividing line is described by Paul in Philippians 4:15 as being when I departed from Macedonia. Paul did not say when I preached in Philippi, Macedonia. That Philippian jailer was probably not a Jew. So why did Paul preach the gospel of Christ to him and to his family? In Acts 9, Christ's sending of Paul that he told about in Acts 26:16-20, it was not a restriction, restricting him to whom he could preach, but rather it was ascending, charging Paul with the responsibility of getting the gospel of Christ to the Jew first. Not only, but first. And also to the Greek, coming to God through Israel's covenants, etc. The Greeks were those Gentiles in the synagogues, aligned with Israel, with Israel's God, Israel's book, Israel's covenants, Israel's commandments. Israel had fallen, though. But for the sake of individual Jews that would believe, God was still diminishing Israel, according to the diminishing is mentioned in Romans 11, verse 12. Some of that goes along with the remnant according to the election of grace in Romans 11, 5 and 6. And Paul mentions that that was a time of shutting down, gradually diminishing of Israel's program and the starting up or growing of the body of Christ. He mentions that in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. And I'm going to stop there.